Mary Bielek, welcome back to the Reach Truth podcast.
Good to be back. 2 years.
2 years.
2 years. Lots has happened since then.
So true. Today is the literal two-year anniversary of us having this conversation 2 years ago where I interviewed you on my podcast. I had you on, and that was sort of a seed of the Empowerment Department. Of course, we'd met a week or so before that, but we thought it'd be fun to revisit what we've done over the last couple of years and check in and see how it's been. So far, we have made good on our long-term plans to collaborate together for a long time. So, yeah, I thought we could talk about what we've done over the last 2 years, what we've learned, what we've tried, what's been fun, maybe what hasn't been fun, and then where we see ourselves going from here. Feels like a really good moment I don't know about you, but I think it feels like a really good moment to be having this conversation as well, with the Empowerment Department and the Guild and everything. So, good. So what have we done over the last couple of years? We started out with the Give Your Gift cohort, the very first one, and we sort of experimented a little bit before that, but that was our first public offering. And then we started working with people once a month, and we did that for a while. Well, we had a bit of a cohort at the beginning of, like, I think it was six people that we worked with. So at this point,
I think it was nine. We worked with nine people.
Oh, the cohort was nine people, but then after that, we did six people in the. Anyway, point is, at this point, we've worked with something like 34 people or something at this point, over two cohorts, and then working with people monthly. And we've just brought on two new people at this point, Anansi and Steph. And we two also new. In what's
yeah,
that?
Two new what we call quest guides. So, like, people who guide other people through these empowerment cycle calls.
We've got a whole terminology for it now. We wrote a book in there. What else have we done? Am I missing anything?
Well, as part of the cohort and the service projects, we've also have been running our Discord, which is a really big part, I think, of what we call as the Give Your Gift community, which is everyone who has ever gone through a call or a cohort is a part of that Discord. And I feel like one of the big things has been growing that and kind of taking care of it. It's like a garden that a lot of people kind of step into. And as I've said many, many times, it is the coziest place on the internet for me. There is channels there that we each person has, and I don't know when we started the weekly co-working, but that's been also going strong, and there's been town halls, and I feel like there's a lot of yeah, there's been like a community that's been formed. It hasn't been just one off. I compare it to my coaching where I have had a lot of coaching clients, but they don't know about each other, and they don't know, they don't support each other. And that's something that I've always dreamed of. And this Give Your Gift community and our Discord is a big part of that. And I feel like it's not like a thing that we've checked off, or, you know, with a time bound project that we did. It's like an ongoing base and a foundation for so much of our work.
Yes. We have a really lovely group of people. It's something like 30 something people in there now. Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I feel like something else is, well, two other things I'll mention as well are that in some ways, I think that the book crystallized maybe so much, but two big things that feel like they've crystallized from that process of writing that book are the diagram that we have of the five qualities of what a service project is to us. And then also more recently, I think this came from the working on the book, but took a bit longer, was this quest map that we've made that we wrote together last year. And then Sylvia recently illustrated. It looks so good. Yeah.
Big shout out to Sylvia.
For real. And I think that, both of those things really tease out a lot that was, implicit from the beginning of how we're viewing service projects, but we didn't necessarily have the vocabulary for what is it that we're doing or steering towards. And we've put a lot of work into, how we think about these things, what empowerment is, how we support people, what we're moving them through and towards. And I think that we have not only between us a shared understanding of what we're doing, but that's also in that community that we've built. And then, of course, I remember the summer that we started working together. In passing, I was like, it's as if there's a company with three departments, and we could call it Tosh and Inc. And it's love, curiosity, and empowerment. And you're in the empowerment department, but there are these other two departments. And you took that very seriously. It was just a metaphor, a joke about the outcomes you want to see in the world. And it's become a thing that we have since renamed to the Service Guild now. And we actually have like a baby organization with love, curiosity, and empowerment departments that really our work together has made possible. We're like, you're holding down the empowerment fort. I'm like, yeah, this is part of a larger thing. And that made it possible for the seeds of the love and curiosity departments to grow into their own departments and a larger guild to form.
And that these departments have grown as well. Like we just talked about taking on Stefan and Anansi's quest guides as growing the empowerment team. When you and I just started, it was kind of just you and I in it, and now it's grown larger. And I know the love department has like at least two people in it, or three with you, and the curiosity department is finding its way as curiosity does. But it went from this joke, from this like, oh, it's it's like a company, and Tosh and Inc., such as there is Mary Inc., and such as there is BI Inc. or Abby Inc. And it became a reality. And I think one of the big things, which is very much in the background, which is not something that a lot of people can see, is also how much infrastructure we've created in the background to systematize how the empowerment department runs with SOPs. You have made me realize the delight of SOPs, the amazingness of what they can do for an organization or collaborating with someone, and like how much effort we've put into iterating on the cohort itself. The Give Your Gift cohort was different the second time around. We've learned so much from it, and the calls, the monthly cycle has also changed and iterated to really be as smooth and like as easeful and the most fun for both us and the heroes. And we've developed a whole fantasy theme as well. At the beginning, it was just Give Your Gift, and now we got heroes and quests and integrity spells and like feels playful. It feels pun professional, as we often talk about it.
I'm curious, with this like all in the room, a lot of our work for the first time, first year or two, was really figuring out what it is that we're doing. And we talked about that in our conversation 2 years ago. Like, what is this empowerment stuff? And how do we talk about it? And, I think in some ways, love and curiosity are somewhat self-explanatory to people, especially if they know about metta meditation or loving kindness meditation. It's like, oh, yeah, of course you'd spread that, or following your curiosity. That's good. But empowerment, I think we've had to really build more of that context where people don't know what that word means to us, or why we care about it, or what it means for us to work with people or be of service in that way. And I'm curious, like, if you were at a party tonight and, for some reason your work at the Service Guild came up, how would you describe what empowerment is?
I listened to our podcast from 2 years ago, earlier today, and the word encouragement came up when we were talking about empowerment as well. And I know that's something that we also have written about in the book. And what does it mean to encourage people to see the best in them and hold these loving expectations of them? And if I were to go to a party, I would talk about like being a part of this organization with friends, but it's also a this experience of helping people do more fun service projects in the world. For me, that's what empowerment is at the core, to do more fun service projects, to help people see the way that they can relate, like that they can make these fun service projects personal to them. Because I think a lot of people that we work with like really care about service. They like want to be of benefit to the world. Oftentimes the people we work with like don't know how to connect that to fun. So that's the first thing that we focus on always, but they know they want to do more fun, and then how to make those fun service projects their own flavor. Like you can't not do a Tosh and Shape project, and it I cannot not do a Mary Shape project. And so I would also talk about like what is it exactly? Like what is the physical thing that we do? It's like, well, we have a Discord community where we connect all these people with whom we have calls and co-create these service projects with them, provide the support that they need, whether that's calls or yeah, like resources. We have the project guide or the project management sheet that we also sent them. But for me, empowerment is more like seeing people. It's recognizing that everyone has something to offer. Everyone has a gift. Everything has a vow. Everyone has a vow. And like playing the game of figuring out where that vow might meet with reality. It feels like the excerpt of my favorite excerpt of the book about like what empowerment is this like game of seeing someone and helping them see their own gifts, their own vow, and make that like a real, make that a real experience in them. It's not just in their heads. Like you can do a project that actually impacts people, that makes ripples in the world, and it's just a doorway into more fun and service and connection with other people in that.
Beautiful, yeah. I think that is really well said, and for me, I think it for me it really begins with this idea of a vow, and it's like, oh, what would we do? What would we do if we really took seriously the idea that people have a vow and that you came here to do something? And of course, the way we hold a vow, it's emergent rather than something you have to like check off on a checkbox. It's like, oh, succeed or fail, but that you are here to do something. There's something that Mary's here to do. There's something that Toshin's here to do. And then what the work that we do with people is really a practical answer to that of let's do a project. And that project is the next step towards this vow which is unfolding and dynamic and you explore it. You're not really done with your vow until you die, really. And so the project is just the current focus. Like, this is what I feel called to do right now. And it's fun for me and beneficial for the world. And yeah, I love the ways that that gets reflected to people through our work with them. I think every time that we have a first call with people, like by the end, we share these reflections with them of like, here's what we've seen in this call. And people just melt and they're like, oh my gosh, I feel so seen. And sometimes it's like they've never felt that seen before, especially because I think more and more this is something I'm thinking about that like people's val like I know from my own experience, but also from the people we've worked with, that people are very unique and like when the more unique you are, the harder it is to be seen. Like if you're just doing something super legible and super normal, then it's like, oh, great, you're doing a good job at this normal thing. But if you're the one weird person that's doing your weird thing, then being seen might be very rare, in fact. So I love that moment. And then I think the community, as you've talked about, is really a place where people can start to see each other more and start to form those connections and friendships and also collaboration. So I've been really proud of that.
I'm curious about, because I watched your podcast from 2 years ago, and I'm like seeing you right now, and it's so interesting because I feel I look back at us and we're like, we're such babies. Like, oh, it was only 2 years ago. We were so cute. We had no idea what was going to happen. My question is for you, what feels like it has changed for you? Maybe in your idea of empowerment, like who you are as a person in this, your relationship. There's also like our relationship in it, what feels like it has changed.
I really feel that too, like getting on this call. In fact, I'm sure I was, as I'm sure folks have noticed, I felt sort of awkward at the beginning of this call, and it just feels momentous to me. You know, it feels momentous and like almost connected in time to that moment 2 years ago. And I already feel like we're gonna have this conversation again, probably multiple times over the decades. And like I was telling you yesterday, I got like a sense of our future selves having this conversation, like, you know, whatever 40 years from now. And just like It's intense. It's intense to feel so connected to that across time. But in some ways, I think we knew from the beginning what we were setting out to do. And otherwise, I never would have pitched someone on working with them for 30 or 40 years, and you never would have said yes. Like we knew what we had to do and what we were getting up to in some way. And that was on an intuitive level. I feel like we just both had that intuition. Oh, yes, this is it. Like I've, okay. And I think now we consciously understand what we're doing and we have that shared context. I've said this before, but writing that book was so valuable for me and for you, just like just for ourselves, even if no one had read it, like just you and I getting on the same page about what we were doing and like each aspect of empowerment and talking about it for many weeks, seeing how we wanted to articulate things and some of these things being quite hard to articulate. What is it that we're doing, or making that diagram or the quest map? And of course, this is all still evolving. I know I'm going to keep learning about people and how to support them and be of benefit to them, but there really feels like a foundation of, yeah, this is what empowerment is and what we're doing together, and so many directions that can blossom in. The other salient thing that feels to mention worth mentioning is, I mean, there's so many lessons that I've learned from working with you, but I think a huge theme has been, and this happened right from the beginning, but has just been unfolding, is trusting people more to, that they know where they need to go and what they want to do. Before I was working with you, the frame that I was doing on my own was like project assignments, and it was like, here, I'll give you a project, which I think this is a polarity, and there's something that I tend to stand for there that I do care about, but also just really seeing again and again what you stand for of like, no, people already know what they need and they already know who they are, and we're just seeing that and loving them in that and creating the conditions for that to unfold has been really powerful on so many dimensions. And I think that we've both had that opportunity again and again to see with the other's eyes and be like, oh, you saw that. And okay, this is what's happening for this person. And I think that we've grown in that individually. And then also as a dyad, we're like, and this also happened from the beginning, but like us having this shared mind, heart space, it's hard to talk about, but just when we're on these calls together, like thinking about what's happening and, how we see people and both being ourselves, but also a dyad that has that shared context. And we're starting to spread that with Anansi and Steph and the empowerment department. And they're bringing their own gifts, of course. And yeah, that we have a team and we have a team and a department and a guild, and that's that context is there. And man, it's wild to think that like if we've gotten this far in 2 years, like with just really just consistent effort of showing up, I don't know, over 2 years, like, wow, what could we do if we have this conversation again in 2 or 5 years? Like, I'm like, it's a little disorienting to be like, oh my, I didn't know we were going to make a guild, like, or an organization. Like, I didn't, oh God. So, yeah.
I feel like it gives you an idea of what you might not even know. If like
Yeah.
that's what we did from zero to here, like what can we do from here onwards? Yeah, I
How about
really
you?
well, one of the things I want to pick up on what you were saying was about writing the book and how much time we spent on it. I don't know if like everyone knows the process that we went through, which is like every week we like scheduled an hour and a half, I think, and then we talked for the first 30 minutes about the thing that we were going to write, and then wrote and shared that. And I think it's those conversations that were really meaningful in terms of having this co-created model, and just like that's when the we started happening. It's like, well, what do you think about that? How does that jive together? And I think that's really representative of we've spent a lot of time talking and trying to understand each other and see each other and see how we see people to try to get a sense and model each other and how does that weave in together. Like we debrief the calls that we have with people. So also being like, what did you see? What did I see? How does that connect together? And it's fun. Like, I can't imagine not doing this. My favorite things that we do. But it's also very unique in that way. Like, how much time we've spent together. Also not physically. I think, how many times have I seen? Like three,
Three,
four times?
something like that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
something like that. But like the amount of collective consciousness that we were able to create, like there was really a we were talking recently about creating a we, and it feels like we have a we of like how we see people, and both as how Mary sees people, how Toshin sees people, but then like how do we actually interweave together. And that was really cool to see when we were training Stefan and Anzi, to be like, oh, how is it, how are people, this is so meta, but how are people seeing how we see people, but also how do Stefan and Anzi individually look, see people, and what's their relationship to that. And I think that's actually been like the secret sauce of our collaboration, is how much time and effort and energy and attention and like care we've put into understanding each other, understanding where each of us is coming from, seeing the value in each of our perspectives. Because even when you were like, project assignments, we need to assign people projects, I wasn't like, that is wrong. But like, okay, well, how about if you try something else? Or like, I see the value in that. Like, how about we co-create it with them and weave that in? So it was always seeing the best of one another. And I think that's where also like the Service Guild as a whole, it kind of then blends in, because there's so much love and like curiosity that needs to happen in order to create this kind of collaboration.
In this moment, I'm just like, what makes a person like take on this sort of extra job where they're doing like 5, 10, 12 hours a week for 2 years of something? Like, it hasn't paid you super well, you know? Like, inshallah, one day, maybe, who knows? But no guarantees on that front. And like, yet you keep showing up. And what motivates you to work in the empowerment department and be connected to the guild in this way?
It's the people, and it's you.
Hmm.
If it wasn't you that I was working with, I probably wouldn't be doing it. Or I wasn't like a person who had the qualities of a Toshin. Because I think I also called in more collaborations into my life. I think it was my intention, probably of the year that we met, actually. So maybe that was it. I was like, I told myself I was going to collaborate with someone. I'm going to give this a try. Like, this guy came along and he's saying yes. And I'm like, intuitively, I guess, yes, this is going to be a thing. Plus, you came highly recommended from Eric, which was still is someone I deeply admire and trust. But at the time, I was just dating him. So it was just like, ooh, there's a new person that has stepped onto the scene. And also because I wanted to have that podcast with you. I like doing podcasts and like trying to be connected with people was the thing that I wanted to do. And I think I didn't do a single podcast recording after that one with you. I was like, I have made this is where this whole intention was supposed to lead me to. I have a big belief in like things have a purpose, and my intentions and intuitions have a purpose. But it's the motivation that's behind us, like the people. Also, we do stuff. Like, we actually make it happen. The podcast, like, we had the call and the podcast happened, and then we had our experiments with some calls. And then we ran the Give Your Gift cohort, the first one, which is not a medium-sized project. It was a small project.
Yeah, we did great though. We made it through. We cleared
We
it.
made it through, and
That was
we did
great.
really good, and it was also something that I wanted to do. I've been like wanting to run a program, so it feels like there's been alignment. I have learned so much with every single thing that we do. There has never been a dull moment. There also hasn't been a lot of crappy moments. I think one of the things that we've learned through these past 2 years is like when there is a bad thing that happens, it's most often a call to do something better.
It's been so well said, and that's been such a recurring lesson.
It's been really, really valuable to have like a partner in crime in that. Like you're definitely my work husband. Like, you know, people go to the office and have like a work wife, a work husband. Like you're definitely my work husband. And it's like we're doing this. This is also my vow, as I understand it, is to lift people up and to help people move from the coercive to the collaborative, from this like feeling like they are stuck or that they're bad or that they also always have to climb towards this like can't fall out of the universe and like honestly a meta experience and a just like loving and in community and seeing themselves as learners. And like coaching isn't the only way to do that. And the empowerment department and their empowerment work is like directly shooting into this target. So it feels very internally motivating, like purpose driven, vow driven. It's also been like really well attuned to my gifts in the first place. And I feel like you and I really fit very well in that. Like strategy isn't my big thing. Like visions, I can be creative, but oftentimes like looking far into the distance can be challenging or I don't know how to do that. But when someone says something and like, oh, I want to do this, I'm like, yes, how are we going to do this? Like, what are the ways to do this? How can we mold it together? And it feels like, and I'm also great with people. So like, I love creating experience and craft it together. How do we think about what people care about? And I've really been able to develop that. And you've been my number one cheerleader as true to Eric's first description of you, number one cheerleader. So it's been a lot of fun. I can't imagine not doing it.
That's definitely what keeps me showing up too. It's just you and the people we work with, and I also love that both this podcast and the empowerment department feel like training environments for me to understand people better and how people work, and that applies to everything in my life. And like, it's just so valuable to have a call with someone and get to see this entirely new person, get to learn about who they are, and then have someone else to, debrief it with and be like, what's happening here? What like you, oh, did you see that moment where they like smiled really big? What was that about? Or, that like, oh, they seemed a little shy to share that, like, oh yeah, they're having this care about or whatever. And, I'm doing that for myself all the time anyway, but to have someone with the exact same context and see different things, it's just every time we do these calls, I learn something new about people and how people work. And that continues to be so motivating because it applies to every area of my life. Like, everything gets better the more I understand people. So, yeah.
I also remember at the beginning, you were like, how do you see people? Explain this to me in detail so that I know how to understand. And you were like, tell me how to do it more. Or like, how did you see this thing? How do you do? What is the internal move that you are making with this? And it really made me think. I was like, I don't know how I do it, but I think I can tell you. I can give you my best idea of it. So I also learned about my own experience. And it was also just like amused and delighted by like intense curiosity and just like this and you knowing this is also your growth edge. I think at the time where we met, you were also like, this is what I need to be learning. Like this is the thing that feels like will up level you. And yeah, so it felt like also I was giving you a gift. You were giving me a gift in collaboration, so it felt very synergistic.
I'm reminded, this is a little random, but like one of the most mind-blowing moments of working together was early in the process of writing the book when you told me that you'd done like a 5-year vision for the future, and that in the 5th year you were going to be writing a book, and that that was the 5th year. And I was like, at a certain point I was like, Mary, we really need to write a book together. Like, all right, it's time for us to write a book. And you were like, oh, like, okay. You are consistently You would do this thing where when you're scared of something, you are fully scared of it and you feel your feelings and you know that that's a compass to go towards the thing, not away from it. Like you do not hide from the things that scare you. You do fully feel your feelings and then you go towards it and you're like, oh, I'm scared of this and let's go towards it. And anyway, but that was like, it was like on the timeline. You're like 5 years. I was like, Mary, I remember it coming up kind of suddenly too. I was like, wait, we should write a book now or something. We need to write the book. So, what was your experience of that like the book and before, after, yeah, personally?
The 5-year vision was the Odyssey planning I did,
Mm-hmm.
and it was like all related to coaching, and like I thought I would write it about maybe a blog post I was writing or something like that, but like it didn't feel real until you were like, let's write a book. And at that point I was like, I have no idea how to write a book. I don't even know how to write. I'm not a good writer. There was lots of like this, not this isn't a good idea, but I don't know if I can do it. And you were so intensely like, this is no big deal. We're just gonna write a book. Like, you can totally write a book. I've written books before. We can totally write a book. I don't know. It'll take us the
Be
year. We'll
fun.
spend the entire year doing it. And I was like, I can't write a book in a year. Be like, oh my God. But you so strongly believed in like us and in me. You were like, we're gonna do it. It's just gonna happen. Like this, you have this unfaltering, like, what else are we gonna do? Like, that is the big project of the year. Like, what are we gonna do this year? And this year was, I think, the Give Your Gift cohort 2 and writing the book. And we're like, well, I guess these are the things.
Your face.
And it was really meaningful for me to like keep facing those fears. And we created a system that worked for us at these like Wednesday writing sessions, so that like I wouldn't be alone with these feelings of I can't write. I still felt them. There was like times where I would sit in front of the screen while you were typing away, and I was like, this is the worst time ever. I don't know any words to put on this page. And I would write something, I'd be like, this is awful. And then I usually would come back to it like next week or a couple days later, and I'm like, wow, this wasn't that bad. Like, this was fine.
Some of those passages were very good. Yeah. Or this,
Some of them were very good. Some of them were not great, but that's okay too. But there is something there that you spoke to around the like my the thing that I am scared of, and scared of in a particular way, one that kind of makes my heart pound and being like, I don't know if I can do it. Not again, like it's not a bad idea. It's like, I don't know if I can do it. That it's like, okay, that's the thing that I need to go in. That's the direction that I need to be going in. And having someone on my team to be like really cheering me on, I felt really empowered through that process. And then we wrote the book. Like it happened. We
And it's
wrote
really good.
we had like the headings, we wrote the chapters. And it happened. So it was like a really interesting experience of and a really interesting experience of being at the book launch party, which I think was the best idea ever
Yeah, good idea, Mary.
to
That was
do.
great. Never not, I'm never writing and releasing a book again without a book launch party.
It's great. I had this feeling of like, oh, I wrote a book. Like the thing that I thought I couldn't do, I ended up doing. It was a really important moment for me in recognizing what are my own limitations, and like what's the power of somebody really believing in me, and the power of having a process and having like a very steady beat to keep going. There is a saying that like people overestimate what they can do in a day, but underestimate what they can do in a month and a year. And like that was definitely an experience of that. Like that was a huge part of feeling like I just couldn't do it. And like, well, we just spend every week doing it, and then it was done. I also felt so proud of like having all these people there. Like I don't think I've ever shared as much of my work with anybody, like any of my family, and like both my parents showed up, both of my sisters showed up, so my friends showed up, my parents stayed and like danced too. They were so cute. So it was a really meaningful moment to share that with the people that I care about. And really change a lot of the beliefs about what I can't do, what I feel like I can't do anymore. And yeah, I'm so organized. Even my dreams, my existential crises happen on time, regularly scheduled. My like dreams happen regularly scheduled. They're just not in the way that I think they're going to be. I think that's the biggest thing. Just be open to different ideas of how the thing might turn out.
How do you feel like you've grown personally over the last 2 years through working together?
There's a phrase that you say that I feel like it's one of the fundamental like principles of the Service Guild is love for my brothers and power for my sisters. I have felt very empowered by you. You have, and like as a consequence, I have grown quite a bit in my confidence in being able to do things. I think there are ways that I still can get stuck in just like, oh, I not that I'm not ambitious, but just like the stretches of what I can do feel really held back by what's reality, which is really helpful sometimes when it's project planning or like how to make a thing happen, but it can be really stifling of the possibilities and like how to think larger. And I feel like through work, I've really expanded on what is the possibility? What can we aim at? What can I aim at? Like the heavenly realm? I'm like, yeah, we're doing that. Like we're going towards that. I've also really upleveled my like SOP game, which is really like funny and like low level, but I've implemented SOPs in my own coaching practice, and that has helped a lot. And I've been able to talk to people about it. I've also learned more about how I do things. All the questions that you've asked me, they have been opportunities for me to reflect on my own process, on my own thinking. I think also a big way that I've grown, kind of listening back to my podcast, I was like, coaching is the best thing I've ever done in my entire life. This is the best thing. I'm having the best time. And I'm like, you're so cute. Like, you're so cute. And what the empowerment department has helped me also to see in the work that we've done is that, like, I'm not only Coach Mary. Like, coaching is a big part of my life and I still like doing it, but it's not the only, like, facet of me. And like my skills and what I can do, and instead of trying to like try to put myself into the form of a coach and everything I have like squeeze that in, there's been opportunities for me to lead more. In my coaching context, I don't lead very often, and now having one-on-ones with our new quest guides and all the ways that we both lead in the Discord, creating town halls, like how to think about that. That's all felt like extremely useful skills and a lot of growth on how to cooperate with others, collaborate with others, and how to create something. Because we're kind of doing a startup, like a social venture startup situation, but on like a very expanded timeline. I feel like there's also been a lot of patience that I've learned of. It doesn't have to be quick, like it can take its time, and there's a lot of beauty in that.
I feel like one of the things that I've learned that feels really salient having this conversation with you is almost like secure attachment and collaboration, where I wouldn't say that wasn't there before. It's not like, oh, I had insecure collaborative attachment or something, but I just feel very secure in our collaborative relationship that we're gonna get through things that are difficult because we've done that together. And that's a really different flavor than at the point that we talked 2 years ago. I had done collaborations with people before, and even multiple collaborations with people before, but there wasn't necessarily like an ongoing context of collaboration for my own projects, at least. And to really feel like, hey, you, Mary, have my back. And, you know, we might disagree, or there might be difficult things that come up through our work, like with the community we're building or something. But like, whatever happens, we're going to make a choice together about what to do that's good for both of us. And I think I had to learn that trust over the first year or two, the first, you know, year or so, because like when things were hard, it's like, oh, are we going to make it through this, you know? And now I really feel this in my body when I forget what made me think of this recently. It's just like, oh, Mary has my back. Like, she's got my back. And like, even much more difficult things than have ever happened could happen, and we'd still make good choices of how we want to steer this empowerment department or the service guild or our friendship. And even it's weird, but I also have this solace of like, oh, if we were like, oh, let's stop working together, even though neither of us have planned on that or something, that we'd just be like, oh, that's obviously the best thing for both of us. And it wouldn't be kind of a like one person saying something kind of decision. And that feels so good. That just feels really good, and frankly has made it possible to, yeah, my own ambitions have been raised as well. I didn't know I was starting an organization 2 years ago. I was like, oh, we should work together for 30 or 40 years. That was sufficiently ambitious, but like, I didn't see that that was going to necessitate really creating teams and organization. And maybe I had a sense of it, but not to the extent that I am starting to see. And like, that's it. Honestly, it scares me to be starting an organization a lot of the time. But like, knowing that you have my back, that we're going to be there for me, gives me the strength and confidence to be like, no, yeah, I'm going to do this. And like, we're going to do the empowerment department. We're going to do the service guild. Like, of course, difficult things will come up, but like, I've got a team and there are people who've got my back. Mary's got my back. Like, I'm not doing this alone. Yeah, that's been such a gift. For sure.
Yeah, I think that's really important to also note in collaborations, because like we often appear to be like we love each other so much, and we're like I feel like we're often so cute together, just like we're so cute about how much we love each other and like how great this is. But we've also had some like challenging conversations, and any relationship that I step into, a friendship or a romantic relationship, I feel like I don't actually feel safe and secure until we've had a disagreement, or until they've seen me in like a shitty situation, or they see me in like a bad mood, or I've like been crying or upset about something that I was able to express that I've been upset, maybe expressed it in like a not great way, like maybe I said it just like burst it out, or was like send it in a text as opposed to having a conversation face to face about it. But it feels like what really makes a difference for me is then like what's the repair after the break that happens. And we've had a couple of those. Like we've had a couple of breaks and repairs and like times that didn't feel good. We had to,
Really?
at one point, I think we had like Eric come as a mediator for us, and like, but the commitment is there. Like we're going to work through this. We're going to take all the resources, take time or reflect back on it. But there's the commitment to, above anything, I think our friendship, which we've talked about. To me, relationships are the most important thing, and like the empowerment department and the service guild is like a fun byproduct of the entire thing. And part of the reason why it felt like 30 and 40 years were apt, even though I didn't know it at the time, is because it feels like that will adapt over time. Like we've talked about me wanting kids, and like how will that impact the work that I do in our collaboration together? Like I might have to take a hiatus, and how does that look like? And like where will you be at that time? So there's a lot of trust also in the our capacity to navigate things together and express concerns and care abouts, and to do that in a way that we feel really understood. And I think we do a really good job of also expressing our needs and being like, can you please do it this way, as opposed to some other way, and to give feedback, but not, you've also talked about like feedback being at the core of the Service Guild and the Empowerment Department, or Tosh and Gang at the time, like how important feedback is, and it really feels true. And not only the feedback, but what happens after it is actually what makes the difference.
Yeah, it's real if there's, it's a real relationship of any kind, including a collaboration, if you've gone through challenges together and you make it through to the other side. And also where, I mean, you said earlier too, like it's been fun most of the times. And it's like, I think it, that the ratio of like fun to challenging is really good, where it's like not, it's not like we're at each other's throats all the time. It's just like, oh, some situations bring up something. It's like, well, you see it this way and I see it this way. And then maybe there's a misunderstanding or something, but that's definitely not like every meeting we have or something. And it's like, you know, 90 times out of 100, I'm going to get on a call with you. And 95 times out of 100, I'm going to be like, oh, that was that. My day got so much better because I hung out with Mary and like, I love Mary. And like the ones where it's not like that, those are the ones. I remember when this happened in our relationship, our collaborative relationship, but we really had this lesson together that we've seen since so many times. That's been such a game changer for me. And I think for you and for our work, where that you said it earlier, but I just want to come back to it a little bit of like, and Peace Pilgrim had talked about this. She's of course a huge inspiration for me. She said like, your problems come to you for a reason, and they're I'm paraphrasing here, but they're she wouldn't wish someone a life without problems, because that wouldn't be an interesting life, and you wouldn't have a chance to grow spiritually. And I kind of intellectually understood that, but there was a situation that we went through where I was like, it was really hard for both of us. We both got triggered about something that happened, and that was hard for us. And we were, then we were like, okay, what are we going to do about this? And then we proceeded to take steps to move forward that led to like really good things. And it was so obviously came from that thing. And since then, when things have happened that are like, oh, this is challenging, we're like, oh, we're having one of those moments. And like, this painful thing is actually the sign of something really good that wants to come around the corner that we wouldn't otherwise notice or be called to or what have you. And I'm not saying I can like totally trust that all of the time, but I think in our collaborative relationship, we have the shared context where when something like that comes up, we're like, oh, it might be one of those moments. And then lo and behold, it obviously is, even though you're like, at least for me, I get triggered about things. I'm like, oh God, I can't, you know, whatever. It's like, that's the way forward. That's what's going to bring you to the next thing and show you something bigger than what you could see for yourself. Cause you have to think from a new perspective and try something new and see it differently in order to move forward. And that's how you grow. And also the benefit for the world grows, is not just doing the same thing over and over again. Yeah.
I think part of it is also being humbled.
Mm.
And like, there's only one perspective that I'm seeing this from. Like the first time that this happened, we got feedback on like feedback. We got like a response to our invitation that's like, that's a crappy invitation for these reasons. And we're both like, are we bad people? Is this a bad thing? Are we doing a bad thing? Uh-huh. And didn't see it as like, oh my God, we got this one thing that felt crappy and that this is not a sign that we should not do this again, but like, there's important information in this perspective. It is not don't ever do this again, but it's something different. And it led to like our invitations, the emails that we sent being so much better, and like I feel like
really the whole fantasy theme too, like
that's
the
right.
The larger fantasy theme that we have. It had been sort of implicit before, but like we're like, let's double down on this.
There's so many, and I think it was really valuable to have the like challenging thing that we faced together as well, because there's challenges that we face within
like,
our collaborative
like between, yeah, totally.
that builds a certain type of safety when it comes to the repair. And then there's the challenges that come at us where we can like both be triggered, feel crappy about it for different or the same reasons, and be like, and kind of like camaraderie together in it, being like, okay, I know you feel bad, but I feel differently bad. So can you support me in the way that I feel, and so we can work from there. And I see that first time, like that first response of the invitation being actually so fundamental to even how people apply now to our program. Like, we no longer send invitations. There is more of an application process that happens. And I don't know how we would have gotten there otherwise. I'm sure we would have, but it would have taken a very different
I'm curious, what is hypothetically, if there was someone in the shoes that we found ourselves in 2 years ago, where we're like, hey, I want to collaborate with this person and they're great, and it seems like there's a lot of shared context and energy towards doing something together. Like, what advice at this point would you give someone, or like a pair of people or a team, about collaborating together over the long term?
I would have a lot of questions first, being like, being like, how are you going to collaborate together? I'm assuming if they were very similar to us, you know, working asynchronously with having a lot of similar things. Well, there's the advice that we give people of like, start small and do experiments with each other, which we didn't entirely follow, but I feel like we also did. Like, we did those first calls, and we did do the Give Your Gift program at the scale that it was. But there, I think those were the moments to also be like, okay, do we want to work together? Do we not want to work together? And so I would encourage the people who are thinking of collaborating together to do those projects intentionally, and also talk a lot about it, like talk a lot about their collaborative relationship as well. I think a lot of like, when I think about my past collaborative relationships is, and ones that didn't feel as good, is because there wasn't an awareness that we were doing this together, and what were we both bringing to this collaboration, and what is it that we wanted to be doing individually, and what felt like we saw in the other person that they could be doing. So a lot of it feels like communication and awareness, and also being fully transparent about what's fun and what isn't fun. That has been like even the most recent thing for the two of us, where I was not having fun in the empowerment department, and I was like, I don't want to not be here anymore, but I don't want things to be the way that they are right now. And we had an awesome conversation about that. So that feels like the thing that I would advise people to do the most, is to keep checking in and be honest about it, even if it might seem like it might break something. It's like, that is far more important. Like, after the second Give Your Gift cohort, you had like, I don't know if I want to do this the same way, because I'm not actually feeling excited about it, and being like, okay, well, I'd rather hear that than have you go through another cycle of it and like feel crappy about it. So being really transparent and self-aware first, and then being transparent with your collaborator feels key. What would you say to that?
Well, first off, about this thing that you just mentioned about fun, how to put it? Like, we really emphasize fun from the beginning of what we now call our level one projects, and fun and feasible, that it's a feasible project that people can actually do. It's like, yeah, you can finish this. You will finish this. This is, something that will be relatively easy for you. It's not too hard. And that erring on the side of it not being too challenging. And I think there's an interesting way where that can be challenging, that often is challenging for people at the beginning, just to find what is fun for them and be honest with themselves about what's fun. But there's a way that I hadn't realized until last summer, as you mentioned, like, where I was like, oh, like what used to be fun for me may no longer be fun, and what's fun can change, and in fact needs to change. And so that's a challenge of continually checking in with what's fun and doing that not only with oneself, but with your collaborators of like, hey, this just isn't fun for me anymore. How can we change this so that it is? And given that fun and service are like two of the really core values of the Service Guild, it's so clear to me phenomenologically that what's fun for me is what is going to be beneficial for the world. So if anyone, whether it's me or someone else, says, hey, I'm not having fun, that's like a sign, oh, we need to steer it, because not only for their own benefit, of course, for them, their own enjoyment and it actually being sustainable and rewarding for them, but also if it's not fun, it's not actually going to be benefiting people either. So why are you torturing yourself over this thing that, I mean, torturing is an extreme version, but like continually steering towards fun, that you have to continually reconnect to that. And what used to be fun, like, I don't know, the first core, it was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, I loved working on that with you and James. And then the second one was great too, but there was just by the end a sense of like, oh, I'm not sure this is it anymore. And how is this changing? And yeah, I didn't expect that. It makes sense in retrospect, but all the life lessons that you ever learn are like sort of obvious once you say them, but you don't expect them before you find them. So that was one. And advice, yeah. I think I put out my friendship article last year, like the practice of friendship or the art of friendship or something. And I forget what I titled it, but, and like, I drew this diagram of, oh, there's all these kinds of relationships you can have. And the way I see it, friendship is first. And like, that's what makes our relationship collaboratively sustainable, is that we're both clear that the relationship comes first, that the friendship comes first. And like, if need be, we'll put even the collaboration aside. And that's so important. And I'm curious about what made you sort of laugh just now.
Yeah, a part of it is like, I like you. I often talk about like, I love my family, but also like, I like them. And like, I really love collaborating with you. I love working with you. And just like, I really like you too. Like, if even if we didn't collaborate together, it's like, I think you're really cool and fun, and I just like spending time with you. So anything that we can do to spend more time together, like, that was one of the challenges that I had. I was like, I wasn't getting enough Toshin time. Like, we needed to have more calls. So now we have like co-working calls where we shoot the shit for a bit and then we work together, and it's just like our hangout time. And I think that's really important for collaborations that are online and async, to not only be about work, to have these spaces. And a big part of the Service Guild culture is these check-ins that we do at the beginning. So that really puts the friendship and us as people at the forefront. Like, before we do anything, like, how is it going? And like, fully transparent, being like, today I don't want to be here, like, I don't want to be on these calls, or like, I'm having a really sad day and or a bad body day, and not feeling like there's a need to fix that. But all of us show up then with that context first, and then we're like, okay, well, let's do the thing that we said we would do in this call, or be like, what about we reschedule? So there's never a rush, and yeah, I think it's so valuable to put the friendship first, and not only like do lip service to it, but actually put it first.
That feels really good. Yeah, I think in some ways a lot of our projects have been excuses for me to hang out with you more, and it's like, oh, I think we need to do this because that'll get me to hang out with Mary more. It's so one of the things, this is my favorite sport now in the empowerment department, is we've developed this habit of, which we've passed on to Anansi and Steph, of like, we talk in the direct messages during our Zoom calls of just saying like, oh, I think this is happening, or, oh, I want to ask this question next or whatever. And that allows us to have kind of a real rapport during our conversation and be on the same rhythm. And one of the things I've taken to is like what as of yesterday I'm calling the Mary moment, which is the moment where someone falls in love with you just a little bit on the call. Like, it's funny because like, you know, I think at this point in time this will probably change quite substantially, but like, I'm a bit more prominent on the internet than you are. And so like, often it's the case that people like know a bit about me and they're like, oh, I'm meeting Mary for the first time. And I'm like, up, oh, wait for it. Up, oh, 5 minutes in. Yep, there it is. They fell in love with Mary. Or, you know, and I always like, up, oh, it just happened. And I love that moment. And I think that's, yeah, That's one of my favorite things. You can just see it on people's face. They're like, "Oh, Mary's wonderful." And so that's definitely a part of the secrets. Yeah, it's like there's great people who are so lovely. You and I are lovely. Anansi and Steph are lovely. The people in the community are lovely. Really just good, wholesome, caring people that want to do cool projects. And then, yeah, this is what fun professional means to me, of course, is that it's also like professional, that it's the best of both professional and unprofessional, that it's like, no, we do our shit well, we have SOPs. Like that's definitely as much the secret sauce of the guild as like focusing on fun and with cool people, is like, no, let's actually do this well, let's not just be like sloppy about it, and how are we going to do this well, and okay, so we are going to use a checklist, and that, and then I love that moment collaboratively when people like realize the SOPs are great, where they're like, oh yeah, I know it's kind of annoying to like figure out how these work and there's a lot of upfront costs, but it's like, oh, we made something I'm so proud of because we put the work into really thinking through how this was going to go and what order we do things and that kind of thing. And anyway, you have to have both. You have to have both for sure. Like people you really like and then being proud of the thing that you're making.
I think that's been really something that we at the in the empowerment department and the service guild are like redefining about what work means, because it's not a separation of work and who you are as a person, but it's also not having everything just feels like a slumber party all the time, or just like a party where, oh, it's emergent and it'll flow this way as it does. But like, we are on time. Like, there's rarely a time when we're late, or we're no, or like do what you said you would do is like one of the fundamental, again, precepts of the service guild. So it's just like, if you're going to do something, you're expected to do it. It can shift over time, and like there's so much communication that happens around it. We have agendas and like meetings that are actually useful. If a meeting has run its course, we're not going to do it anymore, and kind of like constant flow. So it is really the intersection of like fun and person and humanness and being professional. And honestly, I think at the center of professional is just like respectful, like having a lot of respect and care for each other's time, each other's like care abouts, receptions, like having a lot of respect, I think is at the center of what we do.
Yeah, I think you've really gotten to the core of something with the guild that's like, I honestly, like, I never wanted to do work in the way that it was presented to me. It was just never that interesting. And I kind of had to invent my own life work situation that worked for me. And for me and you, I really feel like in our relationship, it's like, oh, we're friends who were like, this is the kind of, like, this is the phrase I always hear in my head, like, this is the kind of shit we like to do together. Like, we're friends and this is how we hang out, is like, do these kinds of projects together that are fun for us. And we're not doing it because, we want to make $1 billion or we want to be super high status or something. It's like, no, this is just the thing I feel called to do, that we feel called to do together. And like, of course, it's going to have benefit from there, or might lead to money or something in the future. That's fine, but that's not like the thing that's burning the fire. It's like, no, this is the kind of shit we like to do. This is fun for us. And that's how I think about the guild more generally, is like creating that flavor of, yeah, we are first and foremost friends who, this is our idea of a good time, is doing service projects together. We're like, this is what's fun for us. And now I'm thinking of like BI, like we do the meta dance parties together, and like that's literally how we like to have fun together. Like we're like, let's go host a meta dance party. Like, oh, we could do it in a new city, like bigger speakers or something, or like, oh my God. And that's also what makes them so excellent. Like every time they get better and better. And I want to just be giving that feeling to more and more people, and creating the opportunity for more and more people to feel that, where it's like, yeah, this is just so fun. And it's like, I know that by the end of my life, I'll really be able to convey this in a way that's true to me. But just seeing how closely fun and service really are two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, I was talking recently to my mom because I had another existential crisis, especially with my work, and she's my like number one go-to person when it comes to running a business, and she's very wise. And talk to her about yeah, like how do you even think about what you're doing? And I'm like doing all these different things, and what's the cohesive story? Like, what's the cohesive story of what I'm doing? Because it doesn't feel like there is a like I know what I'm doing and I can't even put it together. And she was saying that like there's a way of working where you like you go to a company, you have part of an organization, or and like you dedicate your life, or like you go from job to job. There's also the path of like building a business, and like you dedicate all of yourself to this business, and that's the only thing that you build, and you sacrifice other things. And she said that there's a way that I think how we worked is like far more chaotic, that like work becomes part of what you really love doing, and it doesn't exist outside of yourself, where you don't have to sacrifice like anything in your life for it, but it weaves as a part of it, like lifestyle work. And that feels so true to me. And I'm just generally just like not a chaotic person. Like I like control. I like as like I'm an Enneagram one to the T, like very good being on time. That's why I love how we do things. So like chaos is not my forte, but it gave me so much calm to be like, oh yeah, this is chaotic, but it feels like it then exists in the universe. Like entropy just happens in that way, and it feels like our collaboration and the service skill feels like a big part of it. It's like it feels like the universe unfolding in itself, and us being agents of that. And it's like it has to be written by us. Like it will happen however it happens, and we can do our best to guide it and create the conditions for the consequences that bring the most benefit to all beings.
You mentioned just now conditions, consequences, and also essentially maximum deep benefit, benefiting as many beings as possible, as deeply as possible. And you said earlier, you were like, oh, I'm not very good at strategy. And it's interesting. I think one of the lessons we've learned most recently from this conversation is just like, hey, let's play to our strengths and divide and conquer according to our strengths and not according to like an idea or a concept or something, but like, oh, what do we actually enjoy and what are we good at? And let's play to those. And on the one hand, I think, you know, I've put a ton of work into strategy and learning to think strategically and visioning and stuff of like that. And I think as Guildmaster, that's my job, is to hold the vision for the larger organization and see how everything fits into that. That said, I've exposed a lot of people to strategy ideas, and I feel like you have learned the most of the things that I've learned of anyone that I've shared them with. And in fact, I think of Ben Mosher, who shared so many things with me and like was so patient and loving and caring in his time, sharing like every question I had, he would answer. And I'm like, oh, I have at least passed on my debt to Ben Mosher like a little bit, in that I have like done kind of the same thing for you. Although you ask me less questions, you just pick it up. So I'm wondering, like, what have you learned about strategy in particular over the last couple of years of working together?
Oh, I think that's also one of the things that I like forgot how much like knowledge and skills I have also gained that now are just like fundamental, like strategy and the SOPs. And for strategy in particular, there's a couple of things that stand out. One of them is commander's intent. And I think it's deeply connected to our like how to create a collaborative conscious and consciousness, and this like idea of what is my model of you and what is your model of me, such that when we act in accordance with that model of each other. And I think that's what the book was a big part of, and that's what all of our conversations have been, that there is this sense again of a we that we are acting from. And I think we still check in with each other on a lot of things, but it's more just like I just want to know what's happening, because otherwise I'll just miss it in all the things that are happening rather than what needs to be different. There has been the big thing of conditions and consequences being as opposed to kind of means and ends, to what are the conditions to consider for the consequences that we want, and how to weave the two of them together. Also the logical thinking processes, which are, I don't know, they are related to strategy. So like I just told one of my clients about evaporating clouds diagrams. Like they are literally just like on my mind all the time, and like they always come up. It's so useful. I think for them it was about their like own personal choices. So it's not even like a conflict that you have with some other person. So they're like, I've reiterated on them. Implementation trees and all of those feel all like a big part of that. Oh, there's also the theory of constraints. The only thing that comes to mind is Factorio. And like it has really, you've really helped me cement my relationship with Eric on this front. Really, I was like, I somewhat understand. I can like give language to some of the ideas that Eric absolutely adores and like worships in Factorio as an overall game. So that has felt yeah, like the idea of bottlenecks and yeah, like noticing where bottlenecks are, how to focus on that, how to focus on how to not focus on other things, but on the bottlenecks. What else has been there? Yeah, I think those are like come top of mind, but what usually happens is there's a situation and I just pull it out at that point. So like context brings a lot to it. So I learned a lot from you in this way.
It's really nice to see you start applying those ideas to not only to like our new projects. There have definitely been moments where like we've started a new project and you're like, oh, we need to make a prerequisite tree. Like I'm making one, we're making one now. But also to start, you know, because you've shared a lot with me about your coaching practice over the years and like to see how you're applying those ideas there too and how that's benefited you. And I think that's something I've also really come to value about the guild is like, you know, currently I'm the only full-time person on the guild. Maybe that would change in the future, but I've really valued that because it's volunteer work, people have some other context that they're connected to. And I love like the back and forth communication of like, you know, you have your coaching practice, and so you know anything that levels up there will get leveled up here. You know, you have these other contexts you're connected to, and you know, I want to see that spread in the larger ecosystem of the guild of like, hey, if there's something great that something is working for some other organization or project, like let's learn from that. We could use that too. And then if there's something that we're doing, I don't know. I don't know how well I guess we're doing okay because you use SOPs at your work now. But like SOPs are not the sexiest thing in the world. They're not, I don't know. Every time I use them, like this is not the most fun thing to like make them or update them or like be really precise about them. And yet they are. Like I swear by them. They're what make our projects excellent. And so I would love to see those spread more. And I love that kind of cross-fertilization potential for the guild.
Well, I think the cross-fertilization really then lifts the guild up. And I think about the Give Your Gift community in particular. It's like I want the Give Your Gift community to actually be the like coming back to something. I think of it as like a fire in the middle of the village. It's like I don't want everyone to hang out by the fire all the time. Like I want them to like meet other people, get warmed by the fire, get inspired, and then like go out and do something and maybe bring some friends and or like take the fire and light it somewhere else. It's like that there is a lot of yeah, I don't want it to be like to be blocked off in any way. You and I were talking about I think it was yesterday about it's like, well, there's going to be more service projects happening outside of the Give Your Gift community and the Service Guild, even between folks who are in the Service Guild and the Give Your Gift community. So, are we okay with that? And we were both like, absolutely. Like, that's the whole point of the entire thing. Like, I just want it to be more. I just want there to be more of that. And so that's going to be something that also happens, and just like to have the seeds sowed for people to be able to take them away and to have then hopefully then have them feel motivation and desire to come back and feed into that sharing projects or like doing collaborations with others and inspiring others.
I'm reminded of, you know, recently I wrote down what I felt like were the core values of the Service Guild. And this has been such a contribution that you've made personally to my life, but also I know like to our empowerment program and all the people in it is bringing this values exercise. And it kind of, you know, I did that first summer that we did Give Your Gift. And those are still my values, actually. I recently added friendship to the one about love. I was like, I added friendship to that one. Because I did the cheating thing where I had like three, four in one. But it's like, no, this is like a cluster of values that I care about. So I added friendship to that one. But other than that, they've stayed, the same. And how to put it. And then I had this moment of like, oh, I need to do the same thing, but on the level of the guild. Like, what is the guild standing for? And obviously, fun and service were two of them. But then I was like, friendship, integrity, and generosity feel like the other three that are implicit in it. And I generosity is actually tricky for me to talk about. I have the sense that like, oh, if really accurately talking about fun and service is like a lifelong project for me to be able to say it in a way that I'm satisfied with, this is one that I think is maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years that I'll be learning how to talk about with this value. But in this moment, I'm really proud of a lot of the choices that we've made in connection with generosity, where like, we have a Creative Commons license on our book, and like, I think there's a lot of junctures where we could have chosen to like close something down or made it like proprietary or like, more of a closed community or something. And like, yeah, this moment was one of them too, where like, yeah, obviously people should collaborate elsewhere, like do what, why, not a problem, because it's for the benefit of all. And if it benefits everyone, then that's good. And it doesn't need to be benefiting us directly, or it's just like, oh, that's good for everyone. So I look forward to being able to describe why that matters to me more, but I'm proud of us for really living up to that value, even though I can't describe it fully yet. So this, this is one of the things we learned from seeing, is that you see sort of the present in people. Like, you really, like, moment by moment, you're like, oh, they have this, or like, this seems to be coming up for them. And then I'm always like looking at the future, which in a way involves missing someone where they are. It's like just like blurring your eyes at the things that are
Twitching a
present.
little bit, being like, oh, can I see further?
But that's a gift too. It's good. And so this for me is the most fun question, is like, where do you see where we're doing going? I would love to talk about that with you, where we see this going.
Everyone in the world is doing fun service projects, and there is just like an abundance and prolificness of like human expression and also just like outpouring of love towards other people. Because I think one of the things that our service projects haven't been as much is like the karuna. There's like a compassion aspect to it. It's like how to like help other people. I'm a big helper. Like I'm a one wing two, definitely helping people. So like, but the dream is that more people are doing fun service projects and doing more ambitious ones over time that are helping more people, and that they are collaborating with one another doing that. And it feels like, I don't know, it feels like boring in its simplicity, or it feels like it's just it's simple. Like that's what I want more of. And more people also, like, not only the service project themselves, but for the people to feel excited about. You've talked about wanting to help people or create this momentum of service projects that people just want to keep coming back to it, that this is a healthy addiction that they develop of wanting more of that feeling of creating and then having feedback on it. And that's what feels really core for me, is through these service projects, people feeling like they have agency, that they are doing good stuff and feel benefited by other people's projects as well. Like I want it to be a one gigantic feedback loop. That's a large vision of this.
It's so clear, and I don't think it's boring. I think it's just like simple and straightforward, and also like, those are the consequences we want to create. And I think we're still learning together, of course, how we want to do this or how it will unfold. Like, I can already feel in the future, whenever we decide to have this conversation next, like, all of the things, the weight of all of the things we're going to learn over the next 2, 3 years or whatever, as we go about this. But I'm thinking now of the quest map, and that was a really big moment for me to sort of have that just almost like arrive on my doorstep. I was like, oh, there's a quest map. And I have several other sort of documents like that that I'm like, no, are coming. And like this classes document that I'll probably work on with Zencephalon and stuff like that. But on the one hand, like looking backwards, I had this sense of like just continually like knowing that there was more that was possible for our heroes and like wanting that. And I'm always going to stand for that. I'm always like, this is great. Good job finishing that project. And what's next? What's going to be even more ambitious? What's going to be even more beneficial? And sort of this young energy and like, yeah, that drive. And that's never going to be satisfied, unfortunately. But I love that. I love that. And knowing that we could do something bigger and better, and like, what is that going to look like? And then having that contextualized in the quest map as, oh, this is everything that we've done so far. All of the programs we've done are level one, and there's all these other side quests and quests that we can build out. And I think that that quest map did several things. It made just an internal language for us to talk about what we were doing. It made a language for us to talk to the community about what we were doing, especially like making that image of like, here we are, like you started the tavern and there's level one and you can go on these side quests if you want to. But I think most importantly, it also created like a roadmap of sorts for us to start building out that infrastructure. And we've been doing that a lot this year of like, we have a level two program now and we'll launch a level three program soon. And we have several of the side quests going. And I think one of the zoomed out questions that I have that I'll feel like I'll get to answer over the next few years is, you and I have embarked on a level four project together in the context of a quest map of creating the empowerment department and creating the service guild. And we've gotten through that to here we are 2 years later. And like, it's Lindy at this point. I feel very confident we'll get to another 2 years. Like, seems likely, and I would bet on that. I don't know, maybe I need to be humbled, as you said earlier, but I don't know, I would put money on that. And I think one of the questions I'll be asking over that time is like, how to convey the tacit knowledge that you and I have about how to create something like a department or the service guild and transmit that in some kind of level four offering so that people who have started to build collaborations with each other with level three can be like, yeah, let's make this an ongoing thing. And of course, that still requires more people to do level two. That requires us actually launching level three. I think this like character classes idea of being aware of the different roles that people tend to play on a project is going to be really important for that. But I see that coming down the horizon and like almost, this is such a crude metaphor, but I see the empowerment department in some ways as kind of like the genitals of the service guild, where it's like, okay, we've got some good DNA here, like fun and service, friendship, integrity, and generosity. Like, how do we spread this elsewhere to other people and like so that they can create their own service projects or ultimately like, you know, level four? Like, and I don't know what this is, but we'll see how this plot line turns out. But at this moment in April of 2024, I'm like, I don't know what the Service Guild is going to be in terms of an organization. Like, I don't really want it to be a for-profit company. I don't really want it to be a nonprofit. Like, if I have to do either of those two, if that's the thing, then that's fine. But it feels like what we're doing is something like categorically different as like a friend group fundamentally. And how are we going to structure something so that that's possible? Or, and I would love to make that easier for people. And also, yeah, if they decide to do a startup or a nonprofit or, you know, just a recurring project that they do with their friends, like to make that easier for them. I think we have some valuable knowledge, but it's tacit, it's implicit. And I have to tease that out of like, what did we do over the last 2 years? That's part of why this kind of a conversation matters. Like, how did we do that? And what made it succeed rather than fail? And why do I feel confident that we'll get to another 2 years and help set people up for success to have that kind of a relationship with other people as well?
I think those are all one like really good questions, and two, like again, it's like it'll be a map, like it will not be the territory, and it'll be just the best guess of such a thing, and
Totally.
different people will have different experiences of it. But I think it's so valuable to that, and also selfishly, I want people to do that so that we can have other people doing cool stuff that we can connect with, and it is all really so I can hang out with more cool people. all the time. Like, that's what it is. And just like, and be benefited, like, be interweaved in this wide network of relationships, all over the world, really.
You mentioned earlier the heavenly realm, which is the last phrase of the empowerment vision. And also, the empowerment vision is the last one of the love, curiosity, and empowerment ones for the Service Guild. And it's like, in that way, in my head, Ken, it's like, oh, that's also the larger like mission or vision of the Service Guild is like, yeah, steer towards this heavenly realm idea. And you know, you could put it in another way of putting that. I felt actually pretty vulnerable talking about that publicly. That was sort of my own headcanon. And you and BI were both like big influences. Like, no, like this is inspiring to me. This is how I see it. Like, let's go in that direction. And I think qualitatively for me, if and when we hit this thing, it's like every day feels like the best party that I've ever attended. Like every progressive day, it's like, oh, that was the best party ever. And like, that's what a lot of benefit in the world is going to feel like. It's just like, oh, that was a great day. And then tomorrow is even better. And then the next day is even better. And I feel like that's possible for our species. I don't know. I have a lot of hope and faith in people like ourselves and our species and this planet, even though there are, of course, so many challenges. I'm hope-pilled, as it were. And it's like, I think we're going to make it through this, and of course there'll be challenges, but like we have so much creativity and possibility that I see little seeds of like, I don't really know how this is going to turn out or like how these things are going to connect, but all the pieces are there and it's going to work out.
Yeah, it's the same as me wanting to write that book. It's like, I will write that book. It'll be at this time. But just turned out very different. So we will get to the heavenly realm.
Yeah.
How that will look like, what the heavenly realm exactly will be, or what will come about, I think is I trust. Like, I have a lot of trust and intuition and hope for it as well. And I think a part of that will be to transcend and include all of the pain and the heartache and how to alchemize it rather than, I don't know, spit out or propagate more of it, because it will happen. That's a part of life, but it feels like it's all a part of it.
Amen, sister. Well, this has been such a lovely conversation, and it's been even lovelier to work with you for the past 2 years. So I'm already looking forward to what we're going to do over the next few, and whenever we decide to have this conversation again, thank you so much for taking the time to reflect with me, and let's go have some fun for the next few years too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast those 2 years ago, of following the intuition of Eric, of you should probably have this gal on your podcast. Of yeah, I think taking a bet on me as well, as I've taken one on you and on this crazy adventure that we've had together. I feel so appreciative and grateful for everything that you have done, everything that we have done. And yeah, onwards.
Onwards. Amen.